yet. Come John chapter 5, verse 22, it reveals to us that Jesus will judge all flesh someday. But he says, right now, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to offer myself as a sacrifice. That's what he's saying. Then look at verse 17. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I'm trying to show you that everything I've taught you, he is now bringing up on down in the thing. And lastly, verse 36, because the issue was that of authority. That of authority. Who had the real authority in the story? Moses, the Pharisees, the scribes, or great Zot, Jesus. Jesus said in verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That clearly shows us that Jesus is claiming full authority. Now, what we've seen then is what is right out of Proverbs 26:27. He that diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And they've done it. They digged a pit for Jesus, and these wicked Pharisees and scribes have fallen right into it themselves. They considered in their madness, in their pride, in their arrogance, that they had great wisdom in the law. But this bumpkin Nazareth, being filled with the Holy Spirit and knowing the Scriptures himself, has turned these very Scriptures on them in only a few short verses. I mean, never have we seen a greater demonstration of the power of the wisdom of God, David, than in such a short few things that Jesus actually said. Now, of course, I would not mean to be dogmatic in saying that I know exactly what he wrote on the ground. The Scripture doesn't say what he wrote. And yet, I tell you, it does say it. It implies it very strongly down here at verse 17 when he brings up the matter of needing two witnesses. It implies it very strongly throughout the entire story that this is something that he wrote changed the witnesses that were to step forward, Lloyd, their mind, that if they step forward, they themselves would be forfeiting their lives, and they all left. Go and sin no more. That is the final conclusive proof that the woman was saved. You hear this? You see, were this a lost woman? Were she unregenerate? Were she still a non-believer? Jesus would have done nothing whatever in this story to have helped her. To tell a lost person after being caught in the act of adultery, go and sin no more, would help them not one whit. Because they're still doomed and hell-bound from the curse of the law that the adultery she has just committed has placed her under. Jesus would let this woman be leaving still doomed. Do you see it clearly? This is not the message you give a lost person that leaves. This is the message you give a saved person. You see, a saved person in this would minister to them. You see, if she's lost, what should happen now is Jesus should give her the gospel, Patrick, and bring her to repentance to get herself right with Jehovah. This is not the message the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Himself, would ever have given to a lost woman in such a circumstance. Only a sinning saint would receive such a message. Do you all clearly see that the woman is one of us caught in adultery? Too many preachers think the rules are for everyone but them. And we have no wisdom because we don't study the Scriptures. I've talked to too many preachers that have been caught in adultery because they went out and ministered to a woman alone. A divorcee, a woman that's been raped, some woman who's whose emotions are beyond control, and now this man has no wisdom from Scripture than to realize what danger he's in. She certainly has no wisdom in the matter. Her emotions are ruling her at the moment. But you see, I read about Joseph. And Joseph was in the house with the woman that wanted him, Potiphar's wife. And Joseph wanted to follow the Lord and did follow the Lord. But he didn't display the wisdom that he displayed later. You know, it's funny how a little time in jail when you're innocent will really shape you up on getting a little wisdom. And he allowed himself to be alone in the home of a woman with a woman that he knew wanted him. And though he were innocent, he was not innocent. He was innocent of the sex sin, but he was not innocent of Listen to this. Fleeing all appearance of evil. You invite a boy, girls, to your apartment alone. Boys, you invite a girl to your apartment alone. And nothing happens. You know how you'd feel like if the two of you walked out and I walked up at the same time? You'd probably sit there for 15 minutes trying to explain to me that nothing happened. But you hear me. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? As the proverb says, how foolish. You may not have done anything that night, but you keep on that kind of foolishness, and you're going to find out that you're not nearly as strong in your convictions as you thought, especially around 11:30, if you made it that far. See, the Scriptures are to produce wisdom. And so Joseph did not flee all appearance of evil, and he got trapped, he got caught. You say, well, he didn't have that verse back then all, but he knew about it. Go and sin no more. Now, let's talk about the last phase. I'm sure some of you, even at this very moment, still think, I hope not, but I shudder to think that maybe some of you still do. Perhaps think that the woman has gotten away easy. I mean, after all, she had her fling. Easy, easy. This is getting off soft and easy. Let's talk about it. First, the absolute humiliation and shame of actually being caught in the very act, with many people racing into the room. Unbelievable. Secondly, the shame and disgrace of being brought before your own Bible study. Look, Jerusalem at that time is a dinky city. You know, it's just not that big. Many of the people there would have known her. They know she is a, quote, Christian woman, and now her hypocrisy is laid out before all. You listen to me. There's not a one of us in this room that hadn't done something hypocritical about our, insofar as our Christianity is concerned, in the last week. You'd better believe that I'm glad there were times in my life during these last weeks that you weren't a fly on the wall in my house to observe me. And I know the same is true about you. There are times in our life we are so thankful that no one sees us at our worst, that the church doesn't know. But my point is, beloved, but the church knew about hers. I'm trying to talk to you about punishment and justice. And did the punishment fit the crime? Did she get off soft and easy? And how about this? She has been brought before her Lord. Half dressed. Clutching at whatever she could grab to cover her body with. You can just almost see her during the entire ordeal. With her face down, pulling here, pushing there to make sure she is covered as modestly as possible under the circumstances. And she stands before he who has come to give his life for her. And she knows this. You know, it's one thing when I sin and I don't see him. I mean, he always sees me, but I don't see him. You know what I mean? I mean, I know intellectually, spiritually, I know he's there. But praise God, at least I don't have to see him face to face and eye to eye. I want to do that, but not now. I want to see him face to face. I want to know as I am known. I want to behold him, but not while I have a sin nature, thank you. I'm trying to get you to picture, has she really gotten off easily? But it's worse. It's much worse. Listen to me. Have you not yet considered, for those of you that have not, see, because some of you, especially some of you old Pentecostals, man, you still think, stoner, stoner, stoner. I want you to understand that exactly what should have happened to her has happened to her because God has so decided. God has decided that what happens here is righteous. You say, but she isn't dead. Oh. Let's talk about something else. All we've mentioned now is the shame and humiliation of the moment. And yes, it's true. It's going to be kind of hard going to the marketplace for the next few months, to say the least. Years. And running into the bar. Oh, hey, Sally. Saw you at the Bible study the other day. Listen to me. Listen to me. Eternal rewards. There are rewards that God speaks about. Eternal rewards that God has for giving us for being good witnesses, following Him, being His faithful children. I want you to picture that your Heavenly Father, there are rewards she can never have now. In righteousness, she has forfeited some of these rewards that for all eternity God meant for her to have. I want you to picture that your Heavenly Father, with great love and great compassion and great wisdom and joy, has selected certain rewards for you and for me forever. Forever! Do you know how wonderful they must be if God chose them? You know, some people that give you gifts and presents, you know, they're lousy gift pickers. You know what I mean? You know, the purple tie with the yellow golden thunder lightning bolt on it, you know. I mean, some gifts that, Jack, that people give you, you know, they're not such good gift pickers. But listen to me, Bruce. But we're talking about God has a gift that He wants to give you. Your Father wants to give you a gift. But He can't, because He's also righteous and holy and just. And though your life has been spared in this matter, there's a price to pay forever. Do you understand? It's the bright brokenness of my heart to know that there was something so wonderful, that He loved me so much, He wanted to give me, and now it's not just that I don't get it. Do you understand how unpleasant it is for Him? See, I'm a father. I love to shower my children and grandchildren with gifts. I love to display God's generous nature through me to them. To display for them the love and the generousness of God as they see their Father being generous. And to be able to tell them, I can't give it to you, and I already had purchased it for you. I would say to lose a reward for all eternity is not getting off easy for an act of adultery. I submit to you that all that I have already displayed for you, that many of us had rather have been stoned to death over, it would have been the easy way out, rather than have to face you guys, were that me, every week and every month, year after year. Beloved, the Scripture doesn't tell us. I don't know. We don't know, but what, there aren't many other ramifications involved than what I just gave you. What do you mean, Brother Floyd? It doesn't say. Venereal disease. That's possible. Commit adultery today and find out about that one. It's been around a long time. We don't know. I'm just talking about, we don't know whether it's all over. How about, hey, this was adultery. We don't know whether she's the married one, whether the man was the married one, or whether both were married. If she's married and we're not sure, we don't know, Pete, she's got a husband she may be about to lose. Children she may be about to lose. What I'm trying to tell you is, we don't know how bad this thing is. In other words, God can forgive you, but the consequence of your sin that you've started rolling, there are certain things you start rolling, actions you start rolling when we sin, that though God forgives us, the consequence is not obliterated. When David sinned in the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba, God forgave him when he repented, but the baby still died. And God said, from this day forward, there will be a sword turned loose in your home, one member of your family against the other. And though David died forgiven, walked through the rest of his life knowing he was forgiven, four of his own sons lost their life over the matter of Uriah and Bathsheba. How'd you like to be David? Forgiven. Come on, forgiveness is great. But knowing that it was your sin that tore apart your family. Adonijah. Absalom. Amnon. One of his daughters raped. And the baby. What I'm saying is it's not enough to be forgiven. I mean, that's enough when we talk of eternity. But while we walk on this planet, being forgiven can still carry with it some heavy, heavy things. Some of you in this room have committed terrible sins in your life, and you've gone to God, and He has forgiven you, as He is faithful to do. But maybe your leg that got busted up in the car wreck when you were drunk. You still limp. He hadn't healed it. Could, but He hadn't. Maybe he's gone, your husband, and he took the babies with him over your adultery. And you've confessed and you've repented and God has forgiven you. He's remarried. That's it. What I'm saying is, forgiveness does not obliterate the consequence in this life. Perhaps there's other ramifications that could go along with this. Other ramifications. The depression. The guilt. You know, sometimes God forgives us and it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. I might add that's pride. You know, when you sin, when I sin, and we go to God for forgiveness, God, if we mean it, God will instantly forgive us. Instantly. But quite often we won't. And we mope and carry it on and carry it on. But you see, that's a sin of pride that would cause you to do that. What it is you just can't believe. You just can't believe you actually fell on your face that bad. The idea is, I thought I was so much better than that, so much more spiritual. God always knew that we had that in us. He wasn't shocked when we got shocked over our sin. When we got shocked over our colossal failure. And so we do not know all the ramifications that still may continue in her life. Do you understand that the story isn't really over in her life? She's got to go on living in that town and in that church and with a marital situation that we don't know much about at all. We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus didn't change the law. He fulfilled it. I hope you all heard the last part. Lest any of you read the story and with an evil heart be tempted to say, well, son of a gun, Christians can go out and fornicate. Sure, been doing it for years. It's physically possible. It works. The plumbing is there. It fits. But you hear me. I wouldn't like everyone knowing my name on national television, knowing about my colossal failures. I think the biggest difference is that I would be so shamed I wouldn't be on television for 50 years afterwards. I can't believe that these people have no less shame than to want to be back on. As the Scripture says, if your father just spit in your face, you should be shamed for months. Now, it's been a wonderful story. Listen. He is, anyone that can pull this one off, gang, He's worthy of our worship. Let's rejoice in such things. Listen, this is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one before whom we will stand. Did you see it? Our judge loves us. Couldn't you tell that from the story? He loves us, and He's all wise, full of compassion and mercy. Did you not see it? We saw tonight Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? Now watch this next part. To love mercy. May I say that anyone in here tonight that still thinks she got off easy, your greatest sin tonight is you don't love mercy. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You know, I'll have to admit that it should be a little easy for her tonight, maybe more so than some of us, if we've not really seen that actually we could have just as easily been the one, because we've been as guilty in other sins. That it should be easy for her, at least for a little while, to walk humbly before her God, knowing how God has redeemed her and spared her. That we see that Jesus, with just 15 words, just 15 words, put the lost, put the wicked to shame, vanquished the wicked in only 15 words. Then, having done that, in just 21 words, He restored. He judged, in 21 words, He judged a sinning saint, brought her to judgment, and then restored her. Both, in 21 words. And I might add, it was fewer words in Greek. So I'm trying to introduce you then to an excitement over the power of the right words ministered at the right time. As the Scripture says, apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Then there was no miracle involved at all in the teaching. The woman had been caught in the very act of adultery. He loves us, and He's all-wise, full of compassion and mercy. Did you not see it? Would you join me in a word of prayer? God bless you guys. Father, in Jesus' name, make it real for us. We give You glory and worship and honor because it is Your due. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, for placing these words within the confines of Your Scriptures. Father, gird the loins of our mind that we will never allow any scholarship, any footnote, any preacher, any layman dissuade us that these are not the words of the living God. Lastly, Lord, take these gloriously, use them, Father, throughout the week, as it were that we were a cow with five stomachs, spiritually ruminating from stomach to stomach and digesting the joy and the beauty of the Scriptures that You gave us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.